welcome everybody to today's teleseminar. Our featured guest is Mr. Brett Lechtenberg, and he has been a client with Member Solutions for the last 12 years. He's co-founder of the fastest-growing private consulting group in the martial arts industry called the Martial Arts Business Secret Society, and he's founder and creator of Total Success Technologies and the soon-to-be-released Personal Destiny Program. It's a step-by-step program for martial arts school owners specifically designed to help them dramatically raise their bottom line and have more fun by working with only the people they want to spend time with. So with that in mind, today's presentation is on community events and how to get a carload of new students. So, Brett, I'd love to turn the floor over to you and hear what you have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy, very much. And thank you for having me on the teleconference today. Much appreciated. And as we go, if there's something specific you want me to cover, then please, by all means, jump in and steer me in the direction that you want to go. So,
sure.
Now, everybody has access to the event planning sheet that I put up, correct? And if they're
online, they do, yes. If they're online, they should see it says Get Event Planning Worksheet, really big. They just click that.
Perfect. What I wanted to do was start with the fact that when you're going to put on a community event, you really have to have two checklists. You have to have an internal and an external checklist. And you can use the same checklist for both, but your external one's going to be a little bit more comprehensive, dealing with publicity, et cetera. So I'd like to start with the simpler checklist, which is the internal checklist that's up on the site, and then just kind of go down the external checklist as we go through the rest of the teleconference. So getting started, if you're looking at the event planning sheet, it's important to get a number of items set and squared away well before the event starts, because you don't want to be running around the day of the event trying to gather up your resources for things that you're going to do. The other reason we use this sheet is to remind us of things that are not often very common or thought of when we're doing stuff at our school, and then also leave us a reminder or something we can go back on and make sure that we can review each event and improve each event, and we can add to this checklist or we can take things away from this checklist so that each event that we do gets better and better and is easier and easier and more cost effective. So looking at the left side of the event planning sheet, first thing is event location. It's important for all your staff and you to be very clear about where you're going to have the event, whether it's in your parking lot or whether you're off doing something somewhere else at somebody else's event. Again, the date and time, got to make sure things are clear. Nothing worse than having two of your staff members you were counting on show up at the wrong time or on the wrong date somehow. Then it's the organization. That refers to the organization that you're affiliating with, if there is one, to be part of their event. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about an event that we're doing starting this weekend, and I'm also going to talk about one that we're doing at the end of the month and try and show people how we're using these tools, like this planning sheet and event manager. So under organization for us, we're starting at an event this weekend called the Scarecrow Festival, which is a charity event, and there'll be 50,000 people at this event over the weekend. So in organization, we put the Scarecrow Festival and kind of an estimated traffic count. Next is insurance verification requirements. Sometimes when you go places, you have to provide proof of insurance. Sometimes you don't. If I do even something in my parking lot, my manager always asked me for an updated proof of insurance. At this event we're doing this weekend, we don't need that. At the event we're doing at the end of the month, we don't need that. But important as a reminder that you don't have somebody show up in an event, a health inspector or a code enforcement officer, and you don't have insurance or proper documentation. Same thing goes with the next item, which is special permits. In the city we live in, even if we're going to do something small in our parking lot, we have to have a special events permit. It's free, but you do have to have it, and it takes about 30 days to get that. If you don't have a connection, you can get it faster. So, you know, an event needs to be, as we're going to talk about, needs to be being planned 90 days out minimum, just for insurance and permit requirements, if nothing else, let alone advertising and promotion. And then we have other special paperwork required, many times with permits, things like that. You have to give some kind of site map of what's going to happen where and at what times. Our police department, code enforcement, and fire department, we have to give them a site map of everything that we do and where everything's going to be placed. So when they show up to check on the event or if they're taking part in the event, there's no surprises. And then many times there's a due date for paperwork, either from somebody's property manager or from your insurance provider, or it could be from the city or the county that you're in. So due dates for paperwork are very, very important in order to pull off an event and not get there and have an inspector or code enforcement officer show up and maybe shut you down. we've never had an event, never been shut down from an event, but we often have people show up and say, and ask us for specific paperwork. And we had one event where we didn't have all the paperwork, something got misfiled. Because we had everything else except this one sheet, you know, they let us continue on with the event and just ask us to make sure we had everything the next time or if we ever did it again. But it's one of those things that you don't want to be an hour into a really fun event where you're getting a lot of referrals and generating a lot of interest and they shut you down. So important there. Next is the topics to be covered. If you're putting on the event, it can be whatever you want. If you're going somewhere else to jump on an event that's coupled with somebody else, they may have specific topics they want you to cover or not cover. The event I'm doing this weekend, I was asked to do some specific things on Red Ribbon Week, on anti-bullying, and some children's safety stuff. There were some things that I was specifically asked not to cover because it didn't really fit with the theme of the event. So those things are important if you're working with someone else because you really want to make sure that you are congruent with their goals and what they're trying to accomplish and put them in the best light and put you in the best light. Because our goal is always to do right by the people that we're working with and get them to invite us back to the next year event or anything they may have coming up in the future. Because it's just that much easier for us to formulate our marketing plan and, you know, continue to get referrals and leads and that kind of thing. So very important. The next thing is the number of volunteers that's needed. And I've seen this happen many, many times. Is that people way understaff themselves for an event. So a good rule of thumb is whatever you think you need for the event, get 50% more. So I think I need 6 people basically for this event this weekend, but I have got 12 people lined up. For the event we're doing at the end of the month, I think 10 people will be sufficient, but we're lining up 20 because it's a really big, really big event. And, of course, have their names and their phone numbers. It doesn't say phone numbers on the sheet, but you should have their phone numbers and name very prominent right on your event planning sheet that's going to stay with you. And those things there will help you stay organized ahead of the game. And then the day of the event, we've found that there's a common group of items that we typically take with us to make our booth or our event space very becoming to people and draw people to us. And that's and these are some of the things on there from tables and chairs, lead boxes, all the way down to a craft item. Make sure you've got your tent. And lately, we've been experimenting with taking Rock Band and a Wii Fit with us to events, and we've found that we've got a lot bigger draw to our booth when we've brought some of those things that are really popular. They're not currently on this list, but I'm going to talk about them a little bit later. And anything that you can do like that that's really hot out there in the market or in culture in around your town, then you're going to get a bigger group of people that are going to come to your event, or excuse me, come to your booth when you're at an event. So additional items needed, you know, open space to make sure that you thinking outside the box with your staff or your event coordinators to get stuff down, and then suggestions or comments. You know, good idea to brainstorm and make sure that you're trying to stay current, that anything that's got that isn't on your check sheet gets added to the check sheet or gets done with your event. So that's the way we use this planning sheet, is to get us set up internally with our staff and make sure we don't let anything fall through the cracks before we go do an event or take part in an event. You can modify this to some extent to do the second part, which is external checklist. And I'm not going to do it so much in checklist form as I'm going to just kind of work down the items that I put together and the things that we're doing and what we put out to the listeners that were or the members that were going to be on this call. So the first item that was on there was an organized, easy-to-follow checklist. And we've just covered that. So moving on, help school owners learn how to capture more leads at an event. There's some things that definitely can help people gather leads at an event. And I'm going to use an event that we did 2 weeks ago as a good example. We hosted an event in our parking lot, a safety training. I had 12 or 13 other vendors, business owners, that wanted to take part, and that included the police department and fire department. And what most people fall down is they don't have any real attraction to come to their booth other than maybe the banner they have on their table or giving away balloons and stuff, which works. But it's not as effective as having an actual draw to get people into your booth and make them compelled to go to everybody's booth. So what we did is we had coupled with Radio Disney to do a movie premiere party. And the big prize giveaway at the end was a chance to meet the Cheetah Girls live, see the concert, and meet the band. And in order to qualify for that prize, they had to visit every booth and complete the punch card that they were given at the registration booth. So they'd come to the registration booth, they would register their name, and they would register at our table for a free 6 months worth of lessons that somebody would win at the end of the day. And then they would take that punch card to each booth. All the booths were numbered, 1 through 12, and with every vendor's logo on it. And each vendor had a punch, a hole punch, that was a unique shape just allocated to them. So it was very inexpensive to put that together. And each vendor really appreciated the fact that everybody came to their booth. So they would go to booth 2, which would be the police department, and the police department would punch their card with their specific punch, the star or the circle or whatever it was. And they would also capture the information. The person going to the booth got the opportunity to get the information from the police department that they were trying to present, and the police department also got the opportunity to speak with him, whoever was at the booth, and gather information from them as well. So it creates a nice two-way exchange of information. And the person would then go to booth number 3, number 4, number 5. So they had interaction at every booth. Now, for our listeners, obviously, if you're the main registration table, it's easier to get all the leads, but even if you're not, if you have a good prize that people can enter to win, and or you've got a mechanism which draws them, like a punch card, or it could be a piece of a puzzle that they fill in, or something like the way McDonald's does their Monopoly game, things like that. When people come to your booth, you're going to be able to capture their information. And I have found that to be the number one thing that people school owners don't do, or other business owners, is they're just not good at capturing that information. So it's a very simple way to get people to come to your booth and acquire all the information that you need. And then that kind of moves us towards the next thing, is how to deal with the information that you get. And this is the other big falling down of school owners and or other business owners, is what to do once you've got all the leads. and I'm not going to address at all how to enroll somebody or that, but I do want to address the appointment-making process in a little bit of detail. So once you have them to your booth or to your table or wherever you're at, you've gathered their information, you have to keep tabs of all that information. And you want to make sure that you log all that information. Take it off the registration form or whatever you've used, log it into your computer. You can put it in an Excel program or some kind of spreadsheet, or just put it on a word processing program, get their name, address, phone number, and email written down and stored effectively. So you're not looking at little sheets of paper or having any kind of problems with that. I'd like to back up a little bit. If you're at the table or you're at your booth and you're getting information, wherever possible, make sure that your staff verifies the information that they put on the registration form, and that will make it a lot easier to follow up with people, because sometimes people's handwriting is bad or they don't fill everything out completely. And then once you have compiled all the information for the day, you need to immediately make phone calls the next day on the leads that you have that maybe didn't win the major prize or weren't there when you did a drawing of some type later in the day. So if you can do that, start calling the next day, call everybody on your list, and then give away your, in our case, a six-month free lessons drawing. Everybody else should get a call, and they should get something else, a lesser prize, a month of free lessons, 2 weeks of free lessons, whatever, a free women's self-defense course, whatever you want to do. But everybody should win something, and at that moment, you need to schedule the appointment for them to come in for their introductory lesson, whether it be private or whether it be group. And I know there's people with different philosophies on that. We do all of our introductory lessons privately, but there's some people that have very good closing rate and success rate with group introductory lessons. So however you do that, you got to schedule those. One thing we make sure of is that we never let our leads go more than 72 hours. If we can't get someone on the phone within 72 hours from an event or from the time we gather the lead, then we know that we're probably going to miss them. Statistically, the chance of getting them goes down dramatically, getting them to come into our school. So it's very important that we do that. And then anybody who you don't get a hold of or who doesn't want to come down for their lessons that they've won, then you want to make sure that you put them on your mailing list immediately. And this is one of the things that was in that we wanted to make sure that all listeners understand is the power of a good mailing list. If you do an event and get 300 leads, that's 300 people that can go on your mailing list for life. And that is a very powerful piece of your marketing plan. Between the continued mailers and emails that you can send to people to get them enrolled down the road if they didn't enroll immediately. And it's very, very powerful to keep up with that. And it doesn't take long after, say, a half dozen events. You could have a mailing list of several hundred or potentially even a couple thousand worth of names that are a much warmer lead for you than cold calling or just putting an ad in the paper or whatever. And so that mailing list can be grown dramatically as long as you log and follow through on all the leads. The people that understand the true value of the mailing list, they're going to really, really reap the benefits over a long period of time. And so it's very important. And you want to have a good system in place for tracking those leads that do come in. One, you got to set the appointment. And you got to log that appointment so you don't forget or you don't become overbooked. It never ceases to amaze me how people are still keeping their appointments on sticky notes and pasting them onto their computer screen, things like that. You got to have an actual appointment log or some kind of little computer program or something that you can use so that you don't get double booked or overlooked. Once somebody has scheduled their appointment with you for to come receive their free lessons, you want to immediately drop them a reminder card in the mail and get them something so they have it in their hand. People are very much oriented to having something in their hand, something they can stick on their refrigerator, put on their counter as a reminder. And so it's very important to converting these leads to that from your event to that to have that step. Next, you want to call the person the day before their appointment. Again, the day before their appointment. Make sure that they got the thing that you sent them in the mail, that they remember their appointment, they have directions to your location, and that you are expecting them. And we always do what the doctor's offices do here, and that is we verify their information and tell them we're getting them pre-registered to save them time when they come in. And they're, and people are very in tune to being pre-registered and saving time. So it's that works very, very well to raising your show-up rate. Next, we always invite them to bring a friend or family members to take part with them because we're trying to drive up referrals, obviously, and additional enrollments. If it's a child, you know, obviously we're encouraging mom and dad to bring other siblings with them as well as themselves, again, to drive up those enrollment numbers. And after that, we call the person the day of their appointment, a few hours in advance, just as a reminder, because people with their hectic schedules tend to forget whatever's not in front of them. And we have a very, very high success rate based off of that formula. We're getting about 80% of our people to show up for their appointment, which with many of the school owners and, I've talked to around the country, they have a 50% show-up rate or less. And I think it's just because they miss a few steps. And it also has to do with the quality of their lead, why people are coming in. But finally, if somebody doesn't show up or has to reschedule, you want to make sure you reschedule that ASAP and try and get them in still within that 72-hour window or at least 72 hours from the time of their original appointment. Because after that, the lead goes gets considerably colder, and you don't, definitely don't want that to happen. So that's really the system for increasing your mailing list from an event, is really the tracking of those leads, verifying the information, and then it also helps you build everything about that event as far as income generator, as far as upgrades, you know, all that stuff. Those leads have got to be tracked very, very closely. If you do that, you're well on your way to making every event a success. I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about an event using Event Manager that Member Solutions provides. For the listeners that don't have that, definitely want to talk to Kathy or whomever your rep is and talk to them about using Event Manager and getting that as part of your Member Solutions package. It's very, very powerful. And it can be very, very time-saving and save a lot of effort when it comes to getting information and enrolling people for different things. And, you know, we haven't used it for a tournament yet, but I know Kathy has got some, I believe she's made a copy of the available of how the tournament registration works. We're getting to use that, got to use that in November. But we're currently using one live online that anybody can log on to and look at, and it's at breakingthechain.org. And if you go to that page, you'll see right in the middle, it says the first annual Haunting at Lakai, and that's a Halloween masquerade ball that we're putting on for the prevention of child abuse. And when you click on that picture, it leads you to an events page, and that hyperlinks right to our event manager page that's set up. And in that event manager, then people can sign up and register for your event. They can sign up for dinner. We have it so they can sign up for just the costume party. They can sign up for both. They can pay right there online. All that information is logged by Member Solutions, and you have 100% access to that. And you get that from Member Solutions, download it, and it makes your registration systems much, much easier. So, again, you can see it live for something we're using at breakingthechain.org. Click on haunted house picture, First Annual Haunting at Lakai, and follow that link to the register button, and boom, you can see just how you can use that as a way for you to, and maybe use it as an idea for ways that you can use Event Manager in your upcoming belt promotion, tournament, overnight camp, whatever things you might be using in your school right now. It can save you a lot of hassle and headache, and allows people to be able to register you for your event even if they can't make it into class, which also is very powerful. You get some people who are very busy, going to miss a week because they're on vacation, but don't want to miss an event that's coming up. Boom, there you go. So you're getting registrations in your sleep from things that you've got up on your website or a website for a specific event, and that can be very powerful. And it's much easier to track those leads for a long term too, because you don't have to do so much work with them right at the time. So anyway.
Your party sounds like so much fun. I think I'm going to fly to Utah on Halloween and crash it.
Just tell us
like
you're
a
coming.
Really good time.
Oh, it's at the most beautiful place in the state. We've got a – I wish you could see the menu and all the – I think actually some of the menu's online.
She's got some of the menu. That's why I'm sitting here salivating. I see you're having ahi tuna and some good stuff. There's a live band. So I'm just looking at the page you told us to open up. $47 sounds like a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just teasing. I won't really crash your party, but we all could register for it if we wanted to right now and just drop on in.
And if you don't make it, the whatever you they register for, all the money goes to the prevention of child abuse and other children's safety programs. So it's one way to get great publicity. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about events as well, Kathy, is that, you know,
sure.
Events are hit and miss, as you know, and really, it boils down to two main things that I found, and that's how well did you plan it, and B, how well did you publicize it. And publicity is, I think, the harder component. And it's, I think, because we don't all know how to negotiate through the quagmire that is the local news and the press and that kind of stuff, and B, that sometimes publicity can be extremely expensive to get the word out. And we've found that a few things definitely help get people to an event. One, if it's a charity type event, especially if it's a nonprofit type of event. We have a nonprofit foundation, and we do a number of community-based events throughout the course of the year. And we've gotten better and better over time at getting publicity. But just some notes on publicity. One, you got to send out those press releases to the papers, TV stations, radio stations, etc. And we found it works best if we do a kind of a countdown form. We'll send something 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out, 1 week out, and the day of. Trying to get people to pay attention, call us up, get a news crew there, get a reporter from the paper there, whatever the case may be. Also, I think that something that gets overlooked is I think every radio station and most TV stations have PSA slots that they're required to use and to give away or to sell at a really, really discounted price. And PSA stands for Public Service Announcement. And so many people, especially stations and that kind of thing, when they find out it's a nonprofit or a charity event for both, that they'll give you a certain number of slots, and you don't really have a lot of control of when they're going to run, but any press you get is better than no press at all, and so those free things can definitely be tapped into. Purchasing publicity can also be very effective, but, you know, it really has to be targeted, and you got to be careful how much you spend and where you're placing it, and that is kind of an art form in itself, you just got to be careful how much you pay and where it goes. Otherwise, you can blow the cost of your event out, and you may not recoup it if it's not very effective. So we always try and use the free stuff that we can, press releases, etc., and tie it to a charity event. We have better luck. We found the things that bring us the best return is children's safety issues. Those always seem to generate some interest from the press, and then charity events either for children or something that's relevant and timely in your community. Say, heaven forbid, you had a flood in your community, instantly doing a fundraising event for flood relief for some of those victims is very timely, and many times people respond to that, press will respond to that quickly, and you can get press for an event. And that takes away one of those biggest problems of getting people to an event. That's really the hardest part and the thing that you need to focus on the most. I wanted to go over something else with publicity here. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the way we structure events. We're working with a number of other local businesses where we do an event weekly. Whether we're jumping onto an event that's previously planned in the community, or whether we as a business group schedule our own events and then we promote them throughout our own businesses to get people there. We just did a safety fair in our parking lot about 2 weeks ago, which we used Event Manager for and had it up on our site. It's expired now, so you can't really see that, but it was effective. We're doing an event this weekend, which is an event that somebody else put on, but they have invited us into, and we're expecting, you know, to have exposure to about 50,000 people over this weekend. And we're doing a customer appreciation night for a different company in town, where they've invited us and a number of business owners in to be part of that presentation, and again, not costing us anything. It's just an exposure to all their clientele, which would be great. And, you know, something I think anybody could do right now, if they haven't already got it planned, is some kind of Halloween carnival or bash at their school. And we do a carnival simply because we found that it's easier to bring people into your school. More people will come for more games than they will, say, simply for a party where they get a bag of treats. And we've taken the community event slant to this by inviting other businesses that we work with in the community to sponsor different pieces of the carnival. So one company is coming in and they're sponsoring the cookie decorating station. So the business is the sponsor. They're helping push that through their entire client base to bring their clients to our school, not just for cookie decorating, but for the whole thing. Another business is sponsoring the fishing pond. Another business is sponsoring pumpkin decorating. Another business is sponsoring the cakewalk. So, and the great thing is they're paying the cost for whatever it is that they're going to be doing, whatever event, and then they're promoting it, sending everybody directly to our school, and then they're running their own table, their own section. So I don't have to have any staff there to actually man these things. My staff can be just making sure that everybody has fun, and that we can register people for a big prize drawing that we're going to do, and that we can keep track of everything that's going on, keep track of every lead, everything that we possibly can. Then we'll, of course, share that with all the vendors that took part and did the pieces of the Halloween carnival. And it makes it a really easy and a really fun environment for everybody. It's definitely a triple win. We win because everybody's coming to our school and we're getting exposure to everybody else's clientele. And we're getting the leads and registrations, et cetera. And then we are not having to pay for any parts of the event. We don't have to buy the cookies. We don't have to buy the candy. We don't have to buy any of that stuff because the other businesses are buying that stuff. The businesses are running their booths, so I don't have to pay the staff to do it. And then, you know, the vendors that are there are happy because they're getting exposure to everybody else's clientele that's coming in, plus the fact it's a retention event for each business because they get to say they're helping sponsor a Halloween carnival. Come on down. And it's a freebie. And so their clients are very happy, which ties in directly to one of the things we said that we would talk about in the emails that went out was how to use events as a retention tool and referral tool. Well, referrals come easier when people are really happy, excited, and having fun. That makes it much easier. But they're a great retention event if they're fun and they're exciting and there's a lot of people. So our students get to come down. They're going through a Halloween carnival. It's a safe place to come and show off their costume, win some prizes, have some cookies and cake and all the good stuff that kids like. Parents are happy because it's a freebie, but it's super fun. And so everybody wins. And I would highly encourage anybody listening on this call that if you're going to do a Halloween carnival or a Halloween party of some type, break your school up into sections and offer other business owners or, even better, potentially business owners that you already have in your school. They can have a section of the carnival that they're sponsoring, and they can have exposure for their business. And obviously, if their business increases, you've got a much higher chance of getting a referral from that person, them paying their tuition on time without problems, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to make sure that the listeners kind of understand how we structure our events to draw everybody around to every booth, to every table, and then how we can keep the cost extremely low for whatever we do, whether it's on-site or off-site, and then how that's a benefit by gathering all those leads in at different times. So let's see. I know we're drawing near here to the end of our time, Kathy. Is there something you'd like me to specifically cover? I've got a bunch of material, but I know we're coming down to the end of the show here, so to speak.
Sure. Well, yeah, and this is actually one of the questions that was posted, but I think it's a really valid question, and a lot of people might like to hear your advice on it.
Sure.
You know, Mark in Oregon was asking if you have any thoughts on following up the old leads from past community events. He's saying, in his case, he has them on the email and a direct mail list, but he doesn't get a lot from them. So I guess I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on what kind of different offers can maybe he and other people reach out to for their old leads from their past community events.
Sure. So let's say you've got a list of 1,000 people from past events that for whatever reason didn't come in. Many times it's not that people are interested, it's just that the timing was not right for them, or there just wasn't something enticing enough to get them away from doing whatever else they were doing. So from time to time, one thing we'll do is a two-for-one offer, and you can do a direct mail piece or a letter that says, hey, Mr. Smith, I know you came to our community safety fair back on this date, and you had 1 or 2 free weeks worth of lessons, but you never came in to take advantage of those. We have a holiday special going on right now, and I would use holidays because we're coming up on them, which is a two-for-one deal, good for a month. A month's worth of free lessons, 2 for the price of 1, or you could do it free, however you want to structure it. But you got to have a reason to reach out to those people and then an enticing offer. And so you go through that mail list and you call all those people, send them a direct mail piece, drop them an email, and then you usually will get a much bigger response from that because the timing has changed from the previous thing. Your offer has changed, and hopefully it's more enticing. And, you know, just that whatever circumstances kept them from coming in before has changed. And that's really what it is. People won't usually register or get on your mailing list if they weren't sincerely interested. So whatever you did was right. It just wasn't enough to get them compelled to come in at the time. So change the offer and then, you know, repeated different mediums by that email, mail, phone call, and ask them to come in and set an appointment. And whenever we do that, we seem to get an extra a couple of people that come in off that old list somewhere within a 2-week time frame. And, you know, it's not a huge number in general, but it's definitely worth your time to follow up. Because, you know, if you figure the average student at your school is worth $10,000 over time, then it's worth it to have somebody who's continually working on that drip system, the emails, the phone calls, the direct mail pieces. Do you think that answers the question they were after?
I think it does, and I'd like to add one more in that I bet everybody would like to know, too. Can you let us know what would your top favorite two or three offers be to somebody like this that's an old lady? What kind of offers do you make them?
50% off, which can be structured strictly as a 50% off if they come in and enroll. A two-for-one deal, although it's the same as 50% off, some people perceive that totally different. They go, oh, I can go in and finally do that with my wife, and it's only going to cost, I only have to pay for me. Sometimes they perceive that differently as, oh, it's 50% for me. And then even though their wife might be 50% off as well, that sometimes people just don't get that connection. So those two offers, although seem simplistic on our, from our viewpoint, from the viewpoint of the other person, they're totally different offers. And then if you're really having a low response rate, offer them something bigger. Make the offer as big as you can, as long as it makes economic sense. And that is really determined on how good you are at enrolling people when they come in, how valuable your program is from their perception. So I'd have no problem offering someone a 3-month free trial. And we've done this a lot. This has probably been my biggest offer lately, and we've had the most success rate with, is we'll offer them 90 days free. And so they come in, they try their 90 days. Once they've experienced it, at their progress check, we'll actually offer them the opportunity to enroll, and we'll take the 90 days off of their tuition. So the payments, their payments would start the next month. We'd get a down in their first month payment then, but they're only on agreement, say, for 3 months. Their next 3 months is free. Now, we're very confident that we're going to upgrade them before that 3-month agreement runs out. But if we don't, we still got them in for 6 months. And when they're in your school, even at 50%, they're going to buy equipment. They're going to come to events. They're going to do other stuff. So it's still a very positive income generator. Plus, you can get referrals from them, and they'll bring their friends in. And so you can grow from that as well. So those would be the two things, three things, 50% off / a 2-for-1, and then a 3 months free. And the 3 months free has been very, very successful for us. I'll give you a perfect example. We had someone win a 3 months free at a silent auction that we had donated to a certificate. They came in, their whole family ended up taking advantage of it, although the 3 months free was only for one person. The other people in the family, they paid theirs, and the first person got the 3 months free. Within 60 days, that whole family had upgraded to our leadership program. And then 90 days after that, less than 90 days, they had upgraded to our advanced leadership program, and they paid the whole agreement off in full.
Wow.
I don't remember what the exact how it all shook out, but it was at least a $25,000 deal paid in cash that we didn't have to work very hard for. And, we don't cash everybody out by any means, but, if it's enticing, they'll pay for it. And so you ask yourself, 90 days, that's too much. I don't want to give away 90 days. That's crazy. Well, I know that I can track at least $25,000 in cash in less than 6 months' time for giving away that 90 days. So as long as you're tracking it, as long as you know where that's coming from, that's a really good deal. There's a lot of people that like to make $25,000 in a year, let alone make it in 90 days from one person or from one family. So if I had to tell somebody to do one thing, I'd tell them to do the 90-day offer, but be very good at your systems. If your systems are good, it'll pay off for you in a big way.
Does that
answer your question?
It does, I'm sure. It does.
Perfect.
Thank you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, do you have some other questions that we can field before we run out of time?
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. And I want to, after this next one, I want to open up the phone lines in case anybody on the phone has questions too. Larry from Georgia, he wants to know, what are some other sections for like a Halloween party or a carnival that you can invite businesses to help co-sponsor? You had mentioned, the pumpkin cutting, the cookie making, a cakewalk. Do you have any other suggestions for other sections they can sponsor?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't do pumpkin carving. Don't do anything with a blade. I'd make it pumpkin decorating, just to clarify that.
Gotcha.
Give people glitter, glue, pens, all that kind
no,
of stuff.
No sharp knives. Okay.
Exactly.
No butterfly knives. No. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get somebody in there does something crazy. They'll bring their samurai sword in and think that they're gonna carve a pumpkin. But anyway, another hugely popular is the fishing pond. Set up a fishing pond that somebody can sponsor, and that is always goes well. Bobbing for apples is still a favorite after all these years. We typically don't do bobbing for apples because by Halloween time here in Utah, it's pretty cold outside, and many times we have snow. And we do bobbing for apples outside if we're going to do it because it can make a mess out of your school. But that's always a big hit. Let's see, I'm forgetting now which ones I said. So we got bobbing for apples, cakewalk, pumpkin decorating, cookie decorating. You can also, this is a good one businesses like, and I've got someone signed up to do this, is bag decorating. They can supply the bags and the decorations, and on the bag it's obviously going to have some plug for their business, whatever they want it to be. And then the kids can come in and decorate the other side with stencils, paint, glitter, whatever, and the business is real happy because they, they've got the name out there on every bag because every kid's going to come through and get their treat bag, and as they go through every station in your carnival, they're gonna pick up more stuff, and you get exposed to everybody at every station, so that works out well. You can get those boardwalk games from many of the novelty companies or just rental places in areas. You can go to around here we have Diamond Rental and Taylor Rental, and they all have boardwalk games. Those are things where it's a stand-up piece of wood that's painted like a clown, and maybe it's got an opening where the clown's mouth is, and they'll give you the beanbags and everything, and they can throw the beanbag through the clown's mouth and win a piece of candy. Any of those boardwalk-style games are always a big hit, and you can have a business sponsor that. They go out and they'll rent the boardwalk game, they'll bring it in, and they supply the candy, and boom, you've got another station in your carnival. Here's kind of an odd one, but I've got a company that does this for us, is they have a portable oxygen bar, and they will come in and you sit down and you breathe, I don't think it's pure oxygen, but it's pretty close, and it's scented with whatever your favorite scent is. That is hugely popular with people. Again, does it cost you anything? And they get to sponsor it, and you've got another event. Really, the kids like it, but the adults love it. You can have a chiropractor come in or a masseuse, and you can have a chiropractor's table or chair or whatever. And it's not much of a draw for the kids, but the parents, while their kids are walking around hitting everything else, the parent will stop there and get a five-minute massage or a quick adjustment or something, and that's another station you can have that just appeals to adults. Let's see. There's 10 or 12 ideas right there. That's a whole Halloween night right there.
Sure is. It sure is.
So the Halloween carnival is a really fun and easy thing to put on and not have to have it cost you a thing but give you huge exposure to a variety of different people's clientele.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we move to the telephone real quick, Larry in Georgia, just kind of wanted to let everybody know, like a little word of caution, if you're doing outside events with a tent, be careful, because I guess he had a big gust of wind that came up and took the tent down, and he was able to, with his lightning-fast reflexes, catch that tent and keep it off of people. So could have almost been a little liability for him with that tent and that wind. So good reflexes,
yeah,
Larry.
Yeah, those things happen. Again, that's really important to make sure that your insurance, one of those things was very first on that list, our original list, making sure that your insurance is in place. Because
gotcha.
We had a similar event. We had a similar thing happen. Gust of wind, tent blew over, hit somebody's windshield and broke their windshield. Nobody was hurt, but it was nice to know the insurance was in place and it just took care of their windshield and we didn't have to worry about it.
Oh, that is good. That's a good ending to the story there. I have unmuted everybody on the telephone, so if there's anyone on the phone, if you muted yourself, remember to push *7. That will unmute you. Does anybody on the phone line have a question for Brett?
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Okay.
Let's see.
Is that a question coming?
30?
Okay, sounds like something else is going on in the background there. Okay, well, why don't we go back to the web then? Let me... Okay, and then one of the things that we have down is, what is your favorite community event that's given you the very best results that you've done? What was it?
We do a breakathon every year for the prevention of child abuse. And we're going, this will be our eighth year. And that is the one where that really kind of got us rolling. We have so many vendors that show up from BACA, which is Bikers Against Child Abuse, and I think there's probably a chapter in every town. The police department, fire department, just it's really easy to get vendors, and many of them will come in and pay you, you know, for the opportunity just to be there. And then, it has been a great retention event. It's been a great fundraiser event for our charity. It's been a great event for bringing in new students. I would say that's been our biggest thing. We've been kind of fine-tuning this model, and even small events bring us two or three students at a shot. The event we did in our parking lot a couple weeks ago was not hugely attended, but it was still very successful. We enrolled five people out of it, I think, and all for a couple hours' time. And just think, if you did an event a week and you got three, four, five people a week, that is pretty powerful. Then you start turning that into referrals, adding family members onto that. It's extremely effective marketing tool and very, very cost-effective. It does seem to take some planning to get rolling, but now we're to the point where we've got other local businesses who are jumping on and we're working with them. And they're putting together an event, another business puts together an event, we put together another business, put one together, and pretty soon you've got 8-10 weeks worth of events that you can go do and take part in. They're all within your local area and local demographic. And once you set up and do a couple of these, you find out how easy it is just to basically just change locations. And, we have a Wii that we, with Rock Band, that we take everywhere we go, and a flat screen TV, and we bring our own tables, booths, power cords, all that stuff, all kind of nicely organized and binned up, fits in one car easily. And we can just move from event to event. And I don't have to spend a lot of money on newspaper ads or phone book ads, although, you know, that should be part of somebody's marketing plan, that's for sure. But these things have instant ROI, whereas you put an ad in the phone book, you may not get many calls out of it 1 month, and the next month, and the next month, start to wonder if it's working, and then all of a sudden maybe get three or four calls. These kind of things are instantaneous if you track your leads appropriately and you have professional systems in place for bringing people through your door and taking good care of them.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense.
Do you have anybody else have any questions that we can answer? And do you think we've covered everything that we put on the flyer? I think we have.
I think we have. Mm-hmm. I think we have. I know we've just got like about 2 minutes left, and we need to try to stay right on time today. But one thing I just wanted to kind of recap or point out and then ask a question to go with it is, you know, early on you gave us basically a very basic system that I think anybody can follow for following up leads, which, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to generate a bunch of great leads and then do nothing with them and let them get old and stale. But you had said, you know, hey, you know, within, you know, you get those leads, you start making calls the next day, you totally follow up within 72 hours. But I think there's probably some people thinking, gosh, you know, I work full time, I can sneak in an event on the weekend, but I can't, you know, I don't know if I can make these follow-up calls within 72 hours, you know, from the time I got them. Is it okay to send out postcards or something direct mail to those people to make it easy, emails, to make it easy to contact them within 72 hours if you're really strapped for time? How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. If you've got, you know, we use send out cards, which there's other systems like that, but you can easily send out a card the day of the event that arrives the person the next day or 2 days after. You can send out, you can use, I think it's evite.com. You can say, hey, you've won, we'd like to invite you down for free lessons. You've won a month worth of lessons, come on down. You can send that out to everybody, and that can be put on an autoresponder that continues to work. You know, and then that could give you a little more time to get to people if you're short-staffed or you're working full-time beside your school, et cetera. The other thing would be to have someone that you can pay an hourly rate that you've trained on the phone, that the only thing they're going to do is make phone calls for you. If they're good at it, you know, that hourly rate that you're paying, you're going to get back, you know, many, many, many times over. And so that you know, maybe you can't afford to have them on as a full-time instructor or something, but you could have them on 2 hours a day making phone calls for you. Is it okay to drop stuff in the mail? Absolutely. There are other things that people can do if they really want to get creative. Like you can go to DaVinci or HQ Global, places like that that are basically virtual offices, and you can contract with them to A, answer your phones, B, make actual call-outs for you. And they're trained really well, and they only get paid for the hours that they work, and they're paid on like 6 or 12-minute intervals, something like that. So, you know, that you get someone trained at one of those places that is going to make calls for you, they'll do it for you while you're at work. And you don't have to be in your school. They'll answer your phone for you. You can have a live operator. And there's other services as well, but those are things that companies that I've used at different times and still use at different times for different things. So you don't always have to have this big staff. You just have to have a few resources that will work for you.
Gotcha. Brett, is there some place our clients can email you if they just want to ask like an additional question they think of after the teleseminar or after they've listened to this?
Sure. They can email me at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, dot, period, Lechtenberg, L-E-C-H-T-E-N-B-E-R-G, at Comcast.net. So it's Brett Lechtenberg at Comcast.net. Or they're free to call me on my cell phone, which I think is on that event planning sheet. Yes, it is, 801-718-3851. Again, 801-718-3851. They can click on the hyperlink. Some of this stuff is a little bit of it is included in that report for six-figure school owners that they can get by clicking on that hyperlink from the presentation sheet. I'd be glad to help them or answer any questions that I can.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today. A lot of valuable information, as always. You know, you've got a lot of experience. You've been around a long time, so you know it's not rocket science. But you've presented it, I think, in a way that's really easy for everybody to understand, and actually take the ball and run with it. So, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And you know, if anybody gets back to you and something's not clear, I'm more than happy to help. More than happy to break it down farther. Like I said, there's so much information. I didn't even cover everything I had because it got to be pretty extensive. But whatever we can do to help out Member Solutions clients, I mean, Member Solutions has been so good to me over the years, and just really appreciate the opportunity to be on here.